Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, I'm sure that you've been hearing the news related to the Zika virus that's taking place. It's starting to ramp up, and the some would say the hysteria surrounding it, but it's getting very, very serious in the approach that is being taken, not only by our government, but by governments around the world. I was reading a couple of articles on this subject, and it was saying that President Obama was going to bring this up as a major point of discussion with Cuba, of all places. And so he's getting together with some leaders in Cuba, and this is going to be part of the agenda about what are they going to do about the Zika virus. There was an article in the New York Times. This came out on February 8th, so just, a week ago or so. And the title said this: Obama asked Congress for $1.8 billion to combat Zika virus. The article goes on to say this: President Obama on Monday requested more than $1.8 billion in emergency funding to fight the outbreak of the Zika virus, which has spread to 26 countries and territories in Central and South America, though not yet to the United States. $1.8 billion hasn't come to the United States yet. The money would go towards expanding programs to control mosquitoes, which transmit the virus, as well as research into vaccines and new public education programs, particularly for pregnant women, the president said in an interview with CBS this morning. Brazil, which has been among the countries hardest hit by the virus, has reported a significant increase in the birth of babies with an abnormally small heads and a condition that may be linked to the virus. Mr. Obama's request to Congress came as the White House was trying to strike a balance between being responsive to the outbreak and not provoking alarm. 2 years ago, the administration initially played down the risk of the Ebola virus and how it would spread to the United States, only to reverse course after the diagnosis of several cases here. Mr. Obama, angered by the slow response, appointed a special coordinator to handle the outbreak. So far, there have been no documented cases of the Zika virus has been transmitted by mosquitoes within the continental United States. But there have been 50 confirmed cases of the virus in people who traveled to these infected areas and then returned to the country. Obama said during the article, during the interview, the good news is that this is not like Ebola. People don't die from Zika. A lot of people get it and they don't even know that they have it, Mr. Obama said during the interview with Gayle King. What we know now, though, is it appears to be some significant risk for pregnant women or women who are thinking about getting pregnant. Even so, fears about the virus are affecting an array of other issues, including whether American athletes should reconsider plans to travel to Rio de Janeiro for the Olympic Games in August. Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, said on Monday that athletes should ask their doctors whether they should rethink their plans, and he called on Congress to swiftly approve the emergency funding request. Quote, this sort of falls into the category of things that shouldn't break down along party lines, unquote. He said, previously, public health scares have quickly mutated into political crises. The White House halting response to the Ebola virus hurt Democratic lawmakers in the midterm elections in 2014, and the Zika virus has prompted a well of concern on Capitol Hill. On Friday, it said that Senate Democrats wrote a letter to Obama urging him to develop a multi-front strategy for combating Zika that would include a range of agencies from the Department of Health and Human Services, the United States Agency for International Development. Quote, it is critical that we approve the funding immediately and give our government the resources that it needs to fight the virus, said Democratic leader Harry Reid of Nevada in a statement. We also need to make sure that our nation's response to the virus includes increasingly access to contraceptives for women in the Zika-affected regions who choose to use them. Latin America has some of the world's strictest abortion laws. So here's the thing. Here we're talking $1.8 billion. They're not quite sure that it's even connected with the Zika virus is connected with the mosquitoes. That hasn't necessarily been proven. And of course, there's this abortion component here that they want to now fund abortion services in other countries in order to stop this. This is part of the agenda. And on top of all that, there's this political component. They seem more concerned about their image and, their position on this so that they don't get negative press as a result of not addressing these things. Well, here to help us to think through all of this is the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences and the Department of Mathematics and professor of biological sciences at the Master's College. And I'm talking about Dr. Joe Francis from the Master's College. You can find out more about Dr. Francis and about the college in general out at their website, which is www.masters.edu. Dr. Francis, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thank you. It's really great to be back. Thank you.
Well, a long introduction there, so let me let you get right to it on the on a couple of thoughts as we think about what's taking place, not only with our response here in the United States, but even more specifically, what's going on there in Central and South America?
Well, you framed it very well and interestingly, because I'm kind of have a hobby as a presidential historian, and so I like watching the debates, and then I think so much of what we do and say in our lives, in our political realm, is about certain topics that maybe don't matter all that much. And then I think, how does God say in his word that he gets our attention? He says, there's no one alive today that has an excuse not to know about him. Mm-hmm. And then he says, it's because of his power. Mm-hmm. As demonstrated in his creation. And isn't it interesting that whenever in the last year or two, his biological creation, the power demonstrated happens to be in these little viruses that grab the news and we have to focus on it. And it's just kind of interesting. We want to say it's coincidental, but I find it very interesting. And this virus really just causes a flu or a fever or a cold. So why do we care about it? We care about it because it affects unborn babies. Mm-hmm. And then I think, how much do we really care about unborn children? So it's interesting how God's power in nature can get our attention. It can capture the entire world's attention just on this one story. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, look at his hand in all of this. We're thinking about unborn children and so on. And that's, I think, the important part. It is, I think it's a little bit embarrassing to us in the U.S. that Brazil had, one thing they found out is they had tighter anti-abortion laws, better anti-protection laws for children. That's been brought to our attention. But this is an interesting story, too, because you and I have talked about viruses before, and we talked about the fact too that they seem to be designed evil, and how do we figure that out? Because when God does draw attention to nature, the critics on the other side say, "Well, look how bad his nature is. Look how bad disease is. Look how bad suffering is. How could a good God let this happen?" So that's the other story we can think about here. And when we talked about Ebola in a previous episode, we discuss the fact that some leading national atheists have said that they were drawn to atheism because of this problem, because they couldn't reconcile that a God would make a designed evil bacteria or a designed virus. And so I think this is an interesting part of this story, too. Let me give you some interesting facts about Zika. Discovered in 1947 in Africa, again, was only known to cause common flu-like symptoms. It was found in a forest called Zika in Uganda, and it was found in mosquitoes. But what's really interesting, the mosquitoes there tended to live in a forest away from people. And we discussed before my idea that when we talk about pathogenic bacteria or bad viruses that cause illness, if we go back to the original creation, I don't believe they were there causing disease. But we know that God made everything good, and they look designed. So what were they doing? So this intrigues me that in Africa, they live in a forest away from people in mosquitoes, and they're not really – there's been no cases of microcephaly. We should probably define that. So What we're finding in Brazil is some of the children that appear to be born to mothers who have been infected with the virus have a smaller head and a smaller brain case. Believe it or not, they still don't have direct proof of that yet, but that's a correlation. That apparently hasn't happened to any great extent in Africa. And the mosquito in Brazil is different from the one in Africa. So this fits this idea that we talked about, that God's creation is good in its correct place, but when it moves, it can do something bad. And so we have an explanation that at the fall, at this historical space-time event we call the fall of man, Adam's sin, as Francis Schaeffer would say, nature was divided against itself. Man was divided against God. Death came in. And so my theory is these things have been hiding out, and if they do move, they will cause problems. But the other interesting story about this is how viruses actually support life on Earth. Without viruses, we probably wouldn't be alive. And I can tell more of that story as we go along here.
Well, I think that one point that you made right in the very beginning about the political component here, I can't get over the irony of this, that the most pro-abortion president in U.S. history, I had him on the broadcast here, and I asked him specifically about NARAL and his 100% voting record from NARAL and Planned Parenthood and so forth when he was on the broadcast. And he made, political statements about it. Nobody was pro-abortion. One abortion is one too many, yada, yada, yada. But obviously he has not lived up to those statements at all. So the most pro-abortion president in our history, who has fought hard for funding for abortion, continued the funding for Planned Parenthood specifically, of course, to take the life of the unborn, now wants funding, at least on the surface, in order to protect the unborn. And yet within that funding of the $1.8 billion, part of that will be used to actually make abortion, the taking of the life of the unborn, easier for these countries that have prohibited it up to this point. So it just is ironic and confusing, and just seems to be immediately make me think that the funding here is really for something else other than really out of a genuine concern for the infants and their status. I can't help but be jaded about that or be critical about it because of his own history on this particular subject.
Yeah, that is an interesting irony. I hadn't thought about that. But again, we can think on the positive side. This raises the discussion, and it is interesting. I think maybe as I listen to the debate, some of the social family issues have been pushed aside. Mm-hmm. Maybe this issue is just a way that we can see that these things are important too. But it is. I think we have to go back to scripture on this. As a biologist, I use scripture as a guide. And when it talks about life, and we've used this verse before in Deuteronomy here, the Bible says, choose life. But in that verse in Deuteronomy, right before that, it says, He has set before us life and death, blessings and curses, now choose life. And that is totally applicable here. The viruses can be a blessing, and they can be a curse. And, yes, we need to choose life. We need to try to stop it. I'm not so sure that $1.8 billion is necessarily what we need to do up front to understand this virus. So I have a concern, too, that some of these funds could be used for social issues to promote abortion. Mm. But let me go back to the blessing. You know, it is interesting, too, that the virus is the smallest creature on Earth. It's a biological creature, but it's not even alive. Yet, it can wreak havoc across the world. But it is interesting to me how God uses small things to get our attention. And one of the things about viruses, let me go back to that idea about actually how they support life on Earth. The we all, and we've talked about this before also, but every creature on Earth needs carbon because we're carbon-based life forms, and we get carbon from eating salad and eating food and meat and all that sort of thing. But all that works back to the carbon that's taken out of the atmosphere by plants. Well, there's a bacteria in the ocean called cyanobacteria, and it harvests more carbon than all the plants on Earth. And it takes that carbon and it puts it in the ocean so fish can have food and grow, and then we can eat those fish. And the whole ocean ecosystem is based on that carbon coming in. Now get this. That carbon that the cyanobacteria takes up, which is greater than all the plants on the Earth, also is protecting our atmosphere. You know, there's a lot of talk about the greenhouse effect, global warming. That actually works against global warming. It actually takes carbon out of the air. And here's what so where does the virus come in? Well, it's interesting. Every bacteria on Earth has about 10 different viruses that they live with. They're called phages, bacteriophages. And most of these viruses control the population of bacteria. And that's interesting because bacteria are recycling nutrients on the Earth. I call this entire system a biomatrix that God put in place, probably early in creation. Here's what's interesting. If you lay out on the ocean in a raft at the beach, what's going to happen to you in about 30 minutes? You're going to get crispy. You're going to need to get SP 50 or whatever, or a shirt on, or something to cover up. And these cyanobacteria live at the surface of the ocean. There's so many of them, we can see them by headlights from space. They're green. They form green clouds in the ocean. And they get sunburned. They get sunburned, and they stop working. Some of their, it's just a few proteins that get sunburned. Now, here's a creature that's pulling into the life system in the ocean, and it's getting sunburned. Well, viruses are genetic engineers. What they do is deliver DNA to things. And what they do is the viruses deliver the genes that correct the sunburn proteins in those bacteria. And if those viruses weren't there, if those viruses, they would shut down the food system, the entire ocean, life would maybe go for a few more years, but then start shutting down because all the food webs are related. It's just fascinating. God uses these little creatures to run the earth. And when they, but again, when they get in the wrong place, things can go bad. You and I were looking at another article about viruses in the Wall Street Journal about how viruses are being used to fight cancer. And so here we have with viruses the blessing and the curse, the blessing and the curse. And I would hope our response to Zika virus is not to wipe viruses on Earth. That wouldn't be good. But it's interesting, too, I think, with the way God built his creation, there's not much we can do to totally destroy it. We're worried about global warming. We're worried about viruses. Here's the other thing, too, is that there was a flu virus in 1918 that wiped out millions of people on the Earth, and those flu viruses are still with us. And the other thing we see in this story is not only to choose life, but that God is merciful. God is merciful, and his hand and his Holy Spirit, I believe, is holding back. So I believe, have you noticed, too, in the Ebola story, Ebola just kind of ran its course. It's done. It looks like nothing we did really helped that much. But thankfully, we're going to have some vaccines and things that are going to hopefully prevent it. But isn't it interesting that these very, very terrible things don't go very far? But we had an example in 1917, 1918, where they did start to go a little bit farther. So I'm just thankful for.
Yeah. That brings up a great point, because when these things just kind of run their course, as you say, you know, it seems to me that these government officials then get involved and, you know, immediately want to throw billions of dollars at the problem. And I'm wondering, in some cases, if the cure is not worse than the disease. For instance, in one of the other articles that we were looking at, this one in New York Times, it said that the World Health Organization declared the Zika virus and its suspected link to birth defects an international public health emergency on Monday, a rare move that signals the seriousness of the outbreak and gives countries the tools needed to fight it. And it goes on in the article to say, that, however, that there has not been a firm connection between the Zika virus and microcephaly. It says this in the article. It says the WHO acknowledges that the understanding of the connection between the Zika virus and microcephaly was hazy, and said that the uncertainty placed a heavy burden on pregnant women and their families throughout the Americas. In fact, some people are saying that it's not the Zika virus at all that's causing the microcephaly. It's the fact that they put pesticides in the drinking water. So the pesticides are in the drinking water, and plus they sprayed the pesticides just about everywhere. They've fumigated the country. So people have been exposed to these pesticides, and some people are saying it's not the Zika virus, it's the pesticides that are causing the problem with the women. What do you think?
Yeah, it's the focus of the research needs to be very important. I think the research needs to take place. The government's proper role, as I understand it biblically, is to protect its citizens. But this is what kind of frustrates creation scientists, is we have a different picture that we think can contribute to this discussion. For instance, we think these are designed entities. And if we can figure out what their role is, then we're going to be better off. The evolutionary story says, well, things compete and die, and I think there's more on that side to just kind of let everything die out and kill, or maybe even support pesticides, that sort of thing. And so here's what's interesting, too. There is a biological solution here, and that is to control the mosquito with a natural effect, a natural process. For instance, mosquitoes look designed to drill into things, by the way, and that's another interesting problem about natural evil. But about 50% of all mosquitoes actually drill into plants and fruits, as if that seems to be their original design. But here's what's interesting. Part of the problem in all these cases is creatures moving into places they weren't designed to be, and it's caused by overpopulation. And isn't it interesting that we have insects all around us that can just grow rapidly, yet we rarely, just every few years, we hear about overpopulation of locusts or overpopulation of mosquitoes. They seem to be held in check. And what we found out in the last, few years is that in the eggs of insects, there's a bacteria called Wolbachia.
Dr. Francis, I'm sorry. Our time has escaped us here as we're talking about this, and I just didn't want to cut you off mid-sentence,
The
music has already started, and it's a hard break. I can't do anything about it. But, Dr. Francis, thank you so much for coming on the program today to educate us about the Zika virus and some of the things that are taking place associated with it. We really appreciate it. You can find out more about Dr. Francis and the Masters College out at their website, www.masters.edu.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.